One of the very common sayings of Jesus Christ was, "He that hath ears, let him hear." So today, I believe that every one of us who have gathered has ears. And we will audibly hear. But Jesus is saying, though you audibly hear, you may miss the entire message of what I have to say to you. So Jesus is saying, if you have ears, not audibly to hear, but if you're claiming that you have a love for me, listen to what I have to say to you. If you have ears, hear what I'm going to speak. And in this few verses, in these few verses that we have read, we find another apostle writing to a church. And I believe if we look through the scriptures, we find that this is the only church that two apostles have written to it. This is Jesus Christ telling John, unto the church of Ephesus, write these things. We know that Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the church of Ephesus, he was led by the Spirit of God also. And the Spirit, the Lord Jesus himself, was speaking to that church. And Paul wrote a letter to them. And Paul wrote a letter to them, and he commended them in many things. He spoke to them, and he said that he prayed for them. It mentions two prayers that Apostle Paul had for them. He prayed for them that they would be enlightened, that they would receive the light. We know what light, through the scriptures, what light is. It is Jesus Christ. So he prayed for them that they would be enlightened. He prayed for Jesus Christ to be in their heart and in their life. And then he prayed also for them that they would have love within their hearts for the Lord. It says in chapter 1, it says that the eyes of, this is a prayer. He says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer. So this is the prayer that he's offering. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Again, Paul is talking about knowing Jesus Christ, that you would grow in the knowledge of him. Because, well, we'll get to that later, but he says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So he's speaking of a light, that the eyes of your understanding, not that your physical eyes would see light, but that your understanding would be enlightened by the glorious light of Jesus Christ himself. He says that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of his power. So you would know the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So he's speaking here of being connected to Jesus, to this power, by receiving this light of the Lord Jesus. And in chapter 2, also in verses 18 and 19, he says the same thing, except he speaks of chapter 3, I should say. He says that you would be able to comprehend. Again, this is a prayer. He says that you would be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the depth, the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. You will not be filled with the fullness of God unless you come to the knowledge of the love of Jesus Christ. So Paul is speaking, he's praying for this church. A church is in the midst of a very, very perverse city, I should say. A city that was wholly given unto idolatry and materialism and everything. And they were such a witness, this church was such a witness in that city, that even the emperors of that city were able to hear about Jesus Christ and him crucified. And Paul speaks to them again. We're going to go back to the beginning verses where Paul begins, and as he issues these salutations to the church, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. So he's an apostle by the will of God. He's speaking to the saints which are at Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. So he's speaking to a faithful church here. We're setting the backdrop of what Jesus is now writing to this same church. He says, he's writing to the faithful in Christ Jesus. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, who had blessed us with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we, what? Should be holy and without blame before him in love. Again, he's bringing out that terminology of the love for Christ. He says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Christ Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So we are made, he says, you who he hath quickened. He made you alive. You were dead. He says, you were dead in trespasses and sins. You were dead. You're now alive. You were made alive, not by your works, not by what you did, but by Jesus Christ. He made you alive in him. He says, where in time past you walked according to the course of the world. You did that. He says, according to the prince of the power of the air. In other words, you gave everything to the prince of the power of this air, of the world. You followed him. Jesus, you were dead. Jesus gave you life. He's telling this church. And he's in that same spirit now works in the children of disobedience. So we know we are being called to obedience. He's saying this spirit works in the children of disobedience. So anything that is contrary to the will of God is a walk of disobedience, which means you are listening, this church and we, whoever, is listening to the prince of the power of the air, the devil himself. Okay, so he says, among whom also ye had your conversation times past in the lusts of your flesh. You fulfilled, he says, the desires of the flesh and of the mind. That means whatever your mind, wherever your mind went, you went there. You fulfilled those desires. You gave in to all of that. And he says here, and you, by nature, you were the children of wrath. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us together with Christ. He made you alive together in Christ and raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is the church that Paul is writing to and speaking of this great love that God had for them while they were dead. And this portion of scripture that I read this morning is again a thought that has been on my heart for a few weeks, and I believe that when we read this portion, these seven verses, that it has to arrest our attention to listen to what the Spirit of God is saying to us today, because Jesus, as I mentioned this past Wednesday, Jesus says, search the scriptures. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. He's speaking to the Pharisees. You're searching the scripture. You think you have life in them. And you're searching the scriptures out. You know the law. You're adding your own thoughts to it. You're going to make it even a step better than what I've left you. But why? Because you've missed the spirit of the law in its entirety. You're looking at a letter. And he said, you've missed the spirit entirely. He says, so search them. You think you have life in them? And then he says, and you will not come to me that you might have life. So in their search of the scriptures, they're still dead. Why? Because they've lost sight of who they are to search for. When we read the gospel, we are to find only one, and that is Jesus. God the Father speaks of Jesus. God the Holy Spirit speaks and points always to Jesus Christ. He says, search the scriptures. You think you have life, but you won't come to me. Why? Because you're offended by me. And so the question is that was in our our thoughts on Wednesday that remains, again, evidence in the scripture that yes, brothers, sisters, we can be Christians, called Christians, and not know Jesus. Be dead yet in our trespasses as we go to church, claim, and walk under the banner of Jesus Christ and don't know him at all. Jesus says, if you have ears to hear, let him hear. Not what a preacher is saying, what the Spirit of God is speaking unto the church. And so, does this arrest our attention? Because he's speaking to a church. Maybe it's easy for us, brothers and sisters, when Jesus is calling those who are lost, come out of your sin. I've come to save you from your sin. That we can kind of just relax a little bit. We've done that. We can just let our guard down a little bit. I did that. And, yep, this is for our dear friends who gather. I hope they hear this message. I hope they take it to heart. And we hear the audible message, and we lose entirely the Spirit as he speaks to our hearts. And so again, this word, these seven verses, if they do not arrest our attention to really pray to the Lord, Lord, speak to me. Because you know, I know, and the Lord knows our hearts. And so who is he speaking to? He speaks to each of us. And so now we have to consider how he is addressing a church in a city that is adulterous, in a city that is wholly given unto sensuality, given into materialism, loving the praise of men, self-glory, self, look at me, self, everything is about self. This is the city then. Is that not the world today that you and I are in? What changed? The evil heart of man has never changed. It may wax grosser, but it's the heart of man is evil. The heart of man is desperately wicked. The Bible identifies the heart of a man who is unregenerated, who is not born again. And so he's speaking to a church, you and me, today, in the same environment as the church was in when he told his blessed apostle, John, pick up the pen. I have something to say to the church in Ephesus. If the word of God never changes, which we know it doesn't, and it's meant to guide you and me today, as it did this church back then, as it did the age in which this word was written and delivered, so it is meant for us today. You and I will receive no other revelation than the revelation of Jesus Christ as he came into the world, lived a perfect life, lived a life of meekness, humility, humbled himself, and went to the cross. Who did this? The Lord of glory. Humbled himself and went to the cross. Is that a message that resonates in our hearts at all? Are we afraid to walk humbly? Oh, they're going to think I'm weak. They're going to think I'm poor. I didn't buy that new Mercedes. I didn't buy that new this or that. I don't have that mansion on the hill. Is this going to show me as what? You're going to look for the praise of man? Look at me. Isn't that materialism altogether? Are we missing the spiritual message of Jesus Christ as he speaks to me and you? We know that the Solomon, after he had completely made a shipwreck of his entire life, the man who asked for wisdom from God, asked for wisdom from above, The Lord looked down on him with grace. He says, because you asked for wisdom, you didn't ask for anything else. I will give this wisdom to you, and I will give you far more than what you're asking for. God, and then he took that goodness of God. As Paul is bringing out to the church of Ephesus, this is not because of you, because of the goodness of God, because he is good. He gave you life and gave you to sit in heavenly places with him, with Christ Jesus, because of his goodness, not yours. And so what is good about you? Well, Solomon found out in short order as he made a shipwreck of his life, as he gave himself wholly unto all the desires of the flesh and materialism and what he didn't have. And then at the end of his life, he says, oh, Lord, everything is vanity. There's nothing lasting in it. I had the gold. I had everything. He had a harem that rivaled the most unbelieving king in that era or ever. He gave himself entirely to his own lusts, passions, desires. And he says, everything is vanity. So we have a testimony from a man who walked it and lived it more than any of us have. More than any of us have. The wealth that he had accumulated none rivals it today. None. He had everything, but he lost God. And he comes to the realization, there's nothing in this life. Because now he has to face his Creator. He's going to sit or stand at the throne before him, before the judgment seat of Christ. And so he recognizes that his life was an entire lost cause. So Jesus is now speaking to a church. To a church, and we have to really consider these verses. These things saith he. Who is saying this? He that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. He's in the church. He holds the church in his hands. Doesn't this take us back even to the Garden of Eden, where the Lord came and walked and talked and communed with those that he loved? He walked with Adam and he talked with him. He loved him. What was Adam missing? What was he missing? He had Jesus walking and talking with him. What is the church in Ephesus missing? They've been given life. They're sitting in heavenly places with Jesus. What are they missing? They're missing feeding of ego, feeding of pride, feeding of me. You won't find that with Jesus. It's not there. You will not find it there. I miss it. So I'm going to serve God, though. This is what the church is doing here. I'm going to serve God as I lose sight of Jesus himself. I will lose, Jesus says, you've lost your first love. Paul tells them, your first love is Jesus. Jesus tells them, you lost me. It is possible for us as individuals and collectively as a church, because you and I as an individual together make up a church. It is entirely possible that we as individuals call on God, pray to him 3 times a day, 5 times a day. We can hate as we go through these things and do the works that the Ephesus church is doing and don't know Jesus. We don't know him. Does that not scare me? What does that mean to me? Nothing? Does it mean enough to me to say, Lord, where am I in my life? That love. That when I realized you loved me, not because of my goodness, but because while I was dead in trespasses, while I was listening to the prince of the power of the air, while I was entirely against you, you loved me. You gave your life for me. You died. You humbled yourself for me. For me. And that love now, which I love you with, do I still love you that way? Or has my life given way to materialism, to pride, to lusts? And we dismiss those things. We do. You know it, I know it. We dismiss those things as the church in Ephesus dismissed the fact that Jesus Christ, they can be looking at the gospel entirely. They can be searching the scriptures, but they don't know him. Jesus said, you search the scriptures. This church in Ephesus, he's telling them, you're searching the scriptures and you think you have life, but you won't come to me. Why? Because you lost me. You lost your first love. I am not to you what I was when you realized what you were saved from. And you're starting to dabble back in and you're bringing the world into the church. You're bringing materialism into the church. You disdain people who are humble, people who won't walk the way you walk. You dismiss them as nobodies. Meanwhile, they are servants of a living God. Is that why? Because I want to reach certain levels. Look at me. Why? Because you don't know him. And so Jesus is saying, you have ears? Listen. Listen what the Spirit says. What the Spirit says. And so, he says, I know your works. I know your labor. I know your patience. I know how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Look at this. Works, labor, patience. In the book of, in the letter to the Ephesians, he speaks of faith, hope, love. Faith, hope, and love bring works, labor, patience. But you can have works, patience, labor without faith, hope, and love. So he's telling this church, you have labor, you have works, you have patience, but you don't have me. But if one has faith and hope and love, he has works, patience, and labor. You can have this without him. Yes. Jesus is saying this. Jesus is saying this. And he says, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles are not, and hast found them lie. So this church is careful. When someone comes in and claims to be an apostle, they come in to preach. They check them out. Who are you? You're not an apostle. They test them. How? Did you see the Lord Jesus? Were you in that upper room with him? Did Jesus come to you in that blinding light? They would have even tested the Apostle Paul himself. He says, you test them, you find that they're lies. That's good. That's good. He said, you have borne. Thou's borne and has patience, and for my name's sake, his labor, and has not fainted. You're working in the name of Christ. You're doing these things for me. You haven't given up. You still are doing these things that you somehow have accepted as a way of God. But you're not finding the love that brought you to that. And so you continue in a mechanical way. It's just like Jesus saying, if you have ears to hear, hear what the message is saying. In other words, if you don't have the spiritual ears, you will not hear the message. So as they are going about, and he says, all these things, you have patience, you have labored, you have works, you cannot bear them which are evil. You hate evil. And you know, we can come to a hatred of evil as we plow forward in our own conceit. Because we will look to that as an evidence that I love God. See, I hate what this brother's doing, but I'm going to dismiss the fact that I don't love Jesus the way I should. Well, the Lord knows I'm weak. The Lord knows He gave me these eyes and what they see. He gave me all this materialism around and the ability to get it. He gave it all to me, so I have to apply some of it towards me. He knows. He knows this. We dismiss our evil as we hate others' evil. And so Jesus is saying, I see this. You hate evil. Okay, good. But He says, I have somewhat against you. You left your first love. You left me. How does that feel, brothers and sisters? If we are the church in Ephesus, and we get a letter from the Apostle John, and he says, Jesus told me to say this to you. We might look at our churches, we do this, we follow sound doctrine, we do this right, everything is in its place. We hate this church, they don't know what they're doing, this church, you know, and there are churches everywhere who don't hold the doctrine of Jesus Christ at all. They are everywhere. Look at the false teachers that are coming in. You're trying them. You're making sure that they're not going to sit here and preach a false message. So they're preaching the right messages too. But they don't know Jesus. Doesn't that bring me to my attention and say, Lord, speak to me. I've opened my heart. I have something against you because you lost your first love. Let's look back in Jeremiah, where the prophet is speaking of Israel's earlier devotion to God. He says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land there was not sound. Israel was holiness unto the Lord. This is God telling Jeremiah, go talk to Israel. Tell him I remember them. And he says, hear the word of the Lord, O house of Israel, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me? They that are gone far from me. What did you not love? What wrong did you find in me that you've gone far away from me? This message God gave to Israel. This message God gave to the church in Ephesus. This message is consistent to you and to me today. What do you see that I have failed in that you have left me and gone far away from me? I brought you into a plentiful country. Isn't that what Jesus did with the church in Ephesus? I made you to sit in high heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Wow. That's far better than this plentiful country, but it's the same principle here. I brought you into plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered in, ye defiled my land and made my inheritance an abomination. I brought you to salvation. And as I brought you to sit in the heavenly places with me, as I gave you wisdom, Solomon, as I gave this to you, what did you do? Where did I fail you? It's a lamentation. And he says, is that the priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handled the law knew me not. The pastors all transgressed against me. And the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Do you and I walk after things that do not profit? That's called materialism. That's called pride. That's called all the things that my flesh wants to show you how good I am. It can be a false piety. I could bend my head, could walk all scrunched up, and in that, I can display a piety that is entirely false. I don't know Jesus. I left him, but I'm trying to show you how good I am. And he says, and here's what Jesus says to Israel. He says, I will plead. I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord. And with your children's children, I will plead. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. So he says, I have something against you. And so if we say, okay, I know that God has something against me. I know that because I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. I know he has something against me. Well, what Jesus says with that is, remember from where you fell. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Remember, where did you go astray? Where did you allow the things that do not profit your soul to follow those things? Where did you fall? Go back. Get rid of that. You're lifted in pride with that. Get rid of it. Go give someone else that which I gave you, because that's why I gave it to you. Help someone who is in need. Don't look at what I can accumulate, that the barns that I can tear down to build bigger ones, because God has blessed me so much. He's blessed me so much. I can't even handle everything he's given me. And the blessings of sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus mean nothing. Why? Because we left him. That's why it means nothing, because he means nothing. We say, oh, that sounds too harsh. That's not that way. This is what Jesus says. You left me. But remember what caused you to leave me. Remember that. You know what it is. I know what it is. He said, remember where thou art fallen and repent. Go back. Repent. And do the first works. What are the first works? Faith, hope, charity. Do the first works. Love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, thy heart, and thy soul, and thy neighbor as thyself. Don't go to church. What can this church do for me? Ask, Lord, what can I do? What can I do for my fellow brothers and sisters? What can I do for these dear souls who come every Sunday, who hear the word, but yet are just idle? They're idle. They're not making any progress. What can I do for them? Lord, give me an ability to speak to them in some manner, way, shape, or form. You're not going to speak to them by, look at me. Look what I have. You're not speaking. You might speak to their carnal self, but that's not going to bring them anywhere. Jesus has a testimony of the church in Ephesus. You left your first love. That's his testimony of the church, of a church. Remember where thou art fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come. Not, or else, maybe I'll let it slide. He said, or I will come. I will come. In other words, you're hearing my warning to you, Jesus is saying. You're hearing it. Now do something with it, or I'm going to come. I'm going to remove your candlestick. That can mean he can snuff us out. He can snuff us out. He can snuff an entire church out. He can do anything he wants because he walks amongst the candlesticks. He holds the stars in his hand. He is God. And he says, you don't love me. Don't walk out of these doors, he's saying, and start to pursue. Okay, I heard, oh, good sermon, good word, good this. And then, do you give it any thought in the week? Do we give it any thought? Do we apply our hearts to the wisdom? Because Solomon received wisdom. Did he apply his heart to that wisdom which he received? So when Jesus gives himself to us, he gives us his word, he gives us himself, he gives us his wisdom. Do we apply our hearts unto wisdom? I will remove your candlestick except you replace. He said, and then he throws in this, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Later on in verse 15, he says, he's speaking to the church in Pergamos, he says, so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. So he's speaking to one church. He says, you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. You hate that. I do too. He's speaking to church. He speaks to another church, a church. He says, you love the deeds of the Nicolaitans. I hate them. He warns them both, I'm going to remove your candlestick. You see, brothers and sisters, faithfulness is not hating deeds of evil that I have victory over. Faithfulness, love of Christ, is hating everything, everything. And becoming humble and going to the cross, Lord, transform me, make me into that which I, through this world's philosophy, can never reach, can never attain. Any philosophy, any teaching, any instruction, any counsel. Husband and wife have a bad marriage. If you leave Christ out of that, forget it. Forget it. Everything we counsel has to include him. He is the source of all good. And so he says, he that hath near, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto him. And he said, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. We know in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, it says that he put a flaming sword at the garden, at the entrance to the garden, so that they would not partake of the tree of life. You cannot partake of the tree of life. Jesus is saying, if you repent, if you overcome yourself, I will give you of this tree of life. What do I want more than that? What has the Lord left me short in? What has he not given me that I will find in this world? Everything that's evil. And so if our pursuits are for those things, as we uphold doctrine, have a good order, have a Bible study, have a youth group, have singing, have choirs, have services, doing everything by exactly, this is a good example. And yet Jesus said, you left me. Brothers and sisters, my prayer for myself and for all of us is that as we were truly taking inventory of our life in light of the word, not in light of what I'm going to think, but in light of the word, in light of Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am. Look to me. All the ends of the earth, look to me. If you don't look on me and love me, you're lost. With baptism, with laying on of the hands, with church attendance that's perfect, with everything that's just entire, you don't love me. And you're wandering around. There could be those who say, yeah, see, I don't need the strictness. I don't need the strictness of church and come to church. It's Sunday. I'm going to take a family time. Liars is all we become. What better is there than to bring your children into the house of God, to gather with brothers and sisters of like precious faith who love the Lord, who worship the Lord? There's a better place? Where? Why? Where did I leave you short? I gave you that family. I gave you your children. You can't devote a day to me to worship me? Why? Did you lose your first love? And so the Lord will answer us. If we're sincere, that God will answer us. He is faithful. The brother repeatedly prayed that the Spirit would be faithful. He is. Always. And when we seek him, we will find him. May God bless his word this day in our hearts. Amen.